I have asked Don to do some scripture reading for me. So if you don't know Don Whitey, this is Don Whitey. And Don, what are we reading from here this morning?
Well, we're reading out of the Old Testament from Deuteronomy. It's titled, Love the Lord Your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates.
Let's have a word of prayer here this morning over the scripture reading that Don just read for us. Father, this morning, we're going to focus on children. A lot of different ways to look at this, Lord. We are the children of our parents. Many of us have children of our own. Many of us, our children have children, and our children's children have children. But we also look at ourselves as children of God, those who are blessed and say that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Father, today we're going to talk about the human aspect of children. And Father, I just pray that this message, maybe if it's not exactly for us, Father, that it's a message that we can share with others that really need to hear this, a message that every Christian really needs to take to heart about children. So Father, I'm just going to hide behind the cross. And Lord, I am just going to speak the words that I have here. And I pray, Lord, that your scripture that Don just read, the scripture from Ephesians, will really take it into heart, Lord, about what it is that you want us to change in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fifth commandment. We're moving on. I have a feeling that this sermon series is going to set a record because here we are in week number 13 and we're only on commandment number 5. And there are 10 commandments. So we are taking our time. And right now we are presently studying the fifth commandment. So what is the fifth commandment? Well, the fifth commandment from Exodus, which is in your bulletin on the bottom left-hand side, from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which is the commandment that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That is the commandment as given by God to Moses in the Old Covenant. Well, this commandment, we said last week, it is repeated in the New Covenant. But there's an addition to it, with the addition of verse number 1 from Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. And the addition is, children are to obey their parents. And that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the scripture from Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. These messages that I'm presenting on the fifth commandment, I believe should be mandatory for every Christian, regardless of age, regardless of gender, and regardless of marital status. Why should every Christian hear these messages? Well, it's not because that I'm such a gifted speaker, I want everyone to hear me. Because the truths that are set forth in this commandment and in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3, I'll be honest with you, they're rarely preached anymore. And when they're rarely preached, they're rarely learned. And when they're rarely learned, they're rarely understood. And when they're rarely understood, they are rarely practiced. Why is that so? Because we live in 21st century America, folks. We know that. And the truths that are set forth in this commandment go against the grain of what our society and what our culture know, and especially what our society and what our culture want. And unfortunately, many churches and church systems have bought in to these lies. If Christians, if we are going to be the light, a light to the world, and if we're going to be the salt of the earth, then when it comes to the fifth commandment about marriages, about parents, about children, why do so many Christians look no different than the people out there in the world? Did you know the Christian statistics on marriage and on family and on children? The statistics look no different than the statistics of the world. We need to start doing something different. But perhaps some of us, maybe many of us, maybe all of us in here, we fall into that narrow group of Christians who have followed biblical principles on family and on marriage. And if you are, to you, I say congratulations, praise the Lord, and to keep up the good work. But for the rest, who may be in here or may be hearing this message, I say this. We need to listen to what the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Let's start with this. In Matthew 22, 38, Jesus tells the scribe the second greatest commandment is this: to love your neighbor as yourself. So we asked this last week, and I'm going to ask it this week, and I'll probably ask it next week. How much do we really love others? And I don't mean the people who are just lovable. There's many people who are lovable. It's easy to love you guys. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the unlovable. How easy is it for us to love those people? How easy is it for us to love family? How easy is it to love moms, dads, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters? And I believe once we complete the study on these final six commandments, we will see how much we really do love others. And then hopefully we're all going to ask God to change us as needed so we can do that. So let's review what we know about this fifth commandment so far. Last week we talked strictly about honor, because the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. The word honor is the Greek word timeo, which means to give recognition to or to show proper respect to. And the word respect means this: to place someone in high or special regard. And we also said this, biblically speaking, we show honor and respect for two reasons: who that person is and the position that that person may hold. The Bible commands us to honor God. We learned that Ezra 10. Honor our governing officials, Romans 13. To honor our employers, Colossians 3. And to honor our spouses, Proverbs 4 and 31. And today we're going to look at the Word of God with these three verses from Ephesians 1 through 3, to learn what God's Word has to say about children, about parenting, and honoring our fathers and our mothers. Before I go on, I have two disclaimers that I need to make about the remainder of this message. One, disclaimer number one, I will never, ever claim to have been a perfect child, a perfect husband, a perfect father, nor have I ever perfectly loved others like Jesus loved others. And I have failed quite often at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. My second disclaimer is this. I am not a professional counselor or a therapist, so I cannot fix any and every wayward child situation. But I am a Christian, and I am a firm believer that the Word of God will always, always point us in the right direction. So what I have to say today, I say to all of us as we allow the Word of God to mold us and change us what God wants each and every one of us to be. Honoring our father and mother. I want to look at this commandment from four different angles, and I said this last week. Number one, what does this commandment command Christian children to do? Number two, what does this commandment imply for Christian parents? Number three, how do we deal with this commandment with difficult parents? And number four, what is happening in present day society? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It starts off and it says this. It commands children to obey their parents and to honor them. We know this. Obedience and honor will go hand in hand. We honor our parents by being obedient to them. So the first question that might come up is this. Mike, do these verses mean that I must obey my parents even when I'm older and living out on my own? I don't live at home anymore. I'm going to talk about that more next week. But we are always, always, always to honor our father and our mothers, no matter how old we are or how old they are. This morning, we're going to focus on those first two questions. The first question was this. What does this commandment command Christian children to do? And number two, what does the commandment imply for Christian parents? And I'm going to be looking at this strictly from one perspective. From the perspective of parents who have children living under their care at home. Now, I know that there's a lot of us here, probably most of us here, that does not apply to us because our children are older, they've grown, they've moved out. But for those of us who might have children living under our care, oh, this message is for you. So I'm not going to talk about for those children who have left the nest. But this is going to be good, strong, sound, biblical advice. Maybe not apply to you, but it might apply to somebody you know. So you might want to share this message with somebody. If a child is going to obey his or her parents, they need to be taught to do so. Okay? They need to be taught to do so. Every child is born with the human condition, and that included us. We're all born with a human condition, and one characteristic of the human condition is disobedience. We do not want to obey by our human nature. Therefore, a parent must teach their child how to obey. So even though Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 commands children to obey their parents, it implies that parents will teach their children to do so. I promise you that a child will never obey his or her parents on their own initiative. Here's something we all need to know, something you probably already know. In 21st century America, we do not need a psychiatrist, we do not need a psychologist, and we do not need medication to help parents raise their children. Amen. The only thing a parent needs to raise their children is this, the Word of God. If you go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or you need all that funky medication, then you don't trust what God's Word says. In our scripture reading this morning from Deuteronomy, that Don read earlier, God is commanding, he's commanding parents to impress the Word of God on their children. And I know what you're probably thinking right now. Well, Mike, I can't go back and turn back the hands of time. And I know none of us can. But we can help others who are in that situation. So what does God tell them? God tells them to talk about the law, talk about the commands. When you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, what is God saying to parents about the word of God? You talk about it all the time. You talk about it so much that the word of God becomes so deeply ingrained in a child, it becomes the fabric of their life. Is that what's happening in Christian homes today? Did you know about 50 times in the book of Proverbs, God gives counsel to fathers, he gives counsel to mothers and on how to train up and raise a child, and he gives counsel to children on how to obey their parents. One example is what I read earlier from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, which says this: "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." This verse tells us three things. Let me read that verse again. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Tells us three things. Number one, fathers are to instruct their children. All right? Dads, we have a responsibility, and we better live up to it. Two, mothers are to teach their children. Moms, you have a responsibility. You got to live up to it. And three, children better be listening and obeying. All these things, they're not optional. It's what we are to do as a Christian family. This is what every God-fearing father and mother must do. And this is how every God-fearing child must respond. But Mike, what about children who are difficult and they don't want to obey? I'm sure none of us had kids like that, did we? I'm sure none of us were a child like that either, were we? For an Israelite parent, let's turn back the hands of time several centuries, several millennia. It was important for them to teach the law of God to their children and for their children to obey the law. If that child disobeyed what their parents told them, it was punishable by death. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, he will still not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gates of his city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Wow. Glad we're not under the law anymore, huh? I think it's safe to say that there was not much disobedience among children in the Israelite community for those parents who took this command seriously. I believe such a punishment, if it was still legal today, would deter many a child from disobeying their parents. And there's even a chance that maybe some of us wouldn't even be here today. But what about parents today? Does the book of Proverbs give parents any instruction concerning difficult children? And the answer to that is yes, it does. And I'm looking for my bulletin here, and I don't know what I did with my bulletin. Oh, I need a bulletin. Okay, thank you so much. I need a bulletin here. Let me just put that. I'll give it back here in a second. Parents, let me ask an obvious question. Parents, do you love your children? Okay. I had an immediate answer to my right. And that should be everybody's answer. Of course we do. If we do, then we will discipline our children when correction is needed. Again, I'm talking about small children still under the care of their parents. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 tells us this. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights. Let's face it, we discipline our children because we hate them? Absolutely not. We discipline our children because we love them. I love this picture. There was about a zillion pictures I could have chose to put in the bulletin, and I love this one because what it shows is this. Obviously, this child did something wrong, and mom is correcting the little girl, and she's going by the first line of discipline. Talk to the child. Tell the child what the child did wrong. Look at that face on that little girl. How could you not love that little girl? How could you not love her? But sometimes parents must do the difficult things, and that is telling their children, you are wrong. You are disobedient. You have not done the right thing. How should a parent discipline their disobedient child? I think there are levels of discipline. One, like the mom in the picture, talk to the child. Two, we all maybe sat in a corner or did something like that. But there is another way, and sometimes it comes to this. On July 24th of last year, I preached a message about that there's four levels of restraint that are in place to keep us from sinning and doing the wrong thing. The first level was this. The law is written on our hearts and in our minds, and the deterrent was our conscience. The second level of restraint was parents. And the deterrent was, who remembers what the deterrent was? It's a three-letter word, starts with R and ends with D. It is the rod. The rod. One method of discipline might be the rod, could be the rod, and in some cases, better be the rod. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their child is careful to discipline them. Now again, it might not get to the point of the rod, and in our family, Gail and I, we didn't use the rod, we used the fly swatter. And it worked. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children for in that there is hope. This is interesting. Do not be a willing party to their death. I find that interesting because I kind of read into that. Undisciplined children just might go so wayward that they're going to die prematurely because of their disobedience and their lifestyle. So the proverb says, discipline them because you can put hope into them. And in Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. But Mike, I don't believe in spanking my child. God does. Are we going to disagree with him? He's always right. And he always knows best. Proverbs 10:13 tells us this. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. But the rod, listen to this, is for the back of him who lacks understanding. The back of him who lacks understanding. Not only does he tell us to do it, he tells us where to do it. The back of him. Always wondered what that was for. But shame on us if we decide to discipline this way or this way or any other way. Trust me, I got it, not at home, but in school. I got it this way, slammed against the wall. The nuns had control, and they did what they wanted to do, and they disciplined you. They must not have read the scriptures. They believed in discipline, and I don't disagree with that, but their methods were out of hand. Shame on any one of us, moms or dads, who have ever struck a child in the face. you have some forgiving to be done between you and the Lord. But God's word says this. You can do it on the back of him who lacks understanding. Proverbs 23:13. And why should we do that? Well, isn't this going too far? Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die. So it can't go too far. You're not going to kill your child by giving them discipline on the backside. We live in a society, my friends, where it is taught not to spank our wayward child when they need discipline. We will hurt their pride and we're going to hurt their self-esteem. Folks, let me tell you what. That is just another example of how society wants the word of God thrown out of our society. And we buy into it. That's the sad part. Listen, I say this. And I say this standing on biblical ground. We can raise our children either by A, the methods of the psychiatrist and the psychologist and all the prescriptions of Ritalin, or we can go to the Word of God, do it ourselves, save a bunch of money on poorly prescribed medications, and see our children coming out the other end, knowing the Word of God and being obedient to it. So I ask, which direction do you prefer to take? The world's or God's? Too many Christians are over here. And how sad that is. Well, let's take them to a therapist and see what's wrong with them. Maybe sometimes that little boy or that little girl just needs a good swat in the butt with a fly swatter. One thing that I think is extremely important about a father's instruction and a mother's teaching is that they need to be consistent. Children are not dummies. They catch on very quick. If there is no consistency in their instruction, the child is going to be very good at playing one parent against the other. And maybe you have done it, or maybe your children have done it to you. So parents need to be consistent. And I say this, take your disagreements offline, away from the child, come to an agreement between the two of you, and then approach the child as a unified effort. If you don't, I guarantee the child is going to take the path of least resistance, and he or she is going to obey the parent that he or she wants to obey. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Very simply says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So for those children who are within my voice or may hear this message, if you are still under the roof and care of your parents, obedience is not optional. It is required. So for you children still living at home, I strongly suggest that you do what your mother and your father tell you to do. Because the good news is this, when you obey your parents, you are obeying God. And the Bible says that it is right in the Lord for you to do so. Parents, remember this. Children will not obey you and honor you unless you teach them how to do that in the Lord. And please, please, please don't buy books on child psychology. Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs and start reading and start doing. Yes, the command that is given is for the child to honor one's parents. But the command begins with the parents and implies that the parents are worthy of honor. Are you a parent worthy of honor? Give your children good instruction and be a good example of that instruction. I'm going to leave you with this story. Let me start with this. Verona Elementary School, where my children went to school, is closing its doors at the end of the school year. They opened up in 1967, and they are closing this year. Two Saturdays ago, they had an open house up there. If any of the children who have ever graced the doors of Verona Elementary School would like to come in and reminisce one last time. I got a phone call from my daughter, and she said, Dad, I'm coming up. I got to go through that school just one more time. So she came on up, and her and I went through the school, and we went into each and every one of her classrooms, and some of her teachers were there to say hi. But there was a teacher in every classroom, and we went into her second grade classroom, and sure enough, there's Mrs. Pursley, the second grade teacher who has been there forever. And her and I start talking, and we were talking about different things, and I said, Mrs. Pursley, answer me a question. What has changed the most? She said she has been here 33 years, teaching 33 of them at Verona Elementary School. Mrs. Pursley, what has changed the most in 33 years? She said, that's an easy question to answer. Two things. One, the technology. Nowadays, you have to have computers in the classroom. That's how kids are going to learn. They learn with computers. And I said, what's the second thing? And she says, I'll just say it this way. Parents don't care anymore. Parents don't care. School is just a place where they drop their kids off. They couldn't care less about their education. And if I have to discipline a child and I call their parents in, the parents always side with the child. I get nowhere. And it's discouraging. And this is my last year teaching because I just can't handle it anymore. The sad part about that is, yeah, there are, she said, there are some. But I guarantee you there's a lot of Christian families that go to that school. And what are the Christian parents doing? I hope they're doing something because they got to do something. Christian parents, we are commanded to do something. I wish I was a Christian when I was younger, when I had my kids, when they were growing up in my house. And I would have told them a whole lot of things different. Well, Mike, your kids didn't turn out that bad after all. Maybe I was just blessed, but I guarantee you I would have done it different. They would have known this word of God long before. I can't turn back the hands of time. Neither can any of us, right? We can't. We can't shy away and say, oh, I made that mistake. I wish I could do it different. Those days are gone and they're past. But I bet you each and every one of us knows somebody who still has a child at home. Maybe it's your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, whatever, family member, cousin. Are we encouraging them to bring them up in the Word of God? Because we have to. We have to. We're going to lose this church. We're going to lose this country. We're going to lose the world to some pagan who knows what if we don't start doing this. Because like Mrs. Pursley said, the parents just don't care anymore. That's not going to start here. We care. We're going to care. We have to care. We are commanded to care because the commandment says, first, children, obey your parents. How's that going to happen? Parents, teach your children how to obey. Step up. You're the parent, not the child. The child doesn't run the house. The parent runs the house. Boy, that will preach. How many people need to hear that? It's just one of those things that as I've been going through these commandments, I've been realizing, where have I done a pretty good job and where have I messed up? And where has the church done a pretty good job and where has the church messed up? Starts with parenting. Parents, we have a responsibility. Let's do it. Next week, we're going to bring this from the level of parents and children with children at home, and we're going to bring it up to the adult level. And answer that all-important number three question. How do we deal with parents that are difficult parents? Do we really have to honor our mothers and our fathers? Oh, come back next week. It even gets better. Let's pray.